Welcome to Christ Today. Psalm 118:24. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. As we are grateful for God's plan of salvation inviting us into heaven, when we believe on our Lord Jesus, and we are born again, as Jesus tells us in the book of John, chapter 3, verse 3. And in Ephesians 2:9, we are saved by grace. For by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves, lest any should boast. You know that there are some who would say that the words are to be believed, and when they say something, they think it makes a difference. And as you know, there are pastors who will tell someone, now they are saved. Well, we certainly hope that that person is going to heaven, and we certainly hope that you and they are now living a born-again life. But I'm not the judge. Jesus is that judge. Yet, you might ask, is there evidence that your life has been changed? And that now you live a life which Jesus would have you to live. James chapter 2 shows us love and belief and faith are a foundation for the life you live as a Christ follower. Saying those words is good, but living according to the words is probably what we all need to do. As we go through life, we have distraction after distraction, which really do force us to declare our values by how we live, whether they are of God or of the world. Or if we choose to please ourselves, or if we choose to please Jesus. What do you think? What do you choose in this life on this earth? Your choices and how you live become an eternal choice about how you continue to live in eternity. All in the midst of the concerns and the problems that we go through day after day in life. Some are relationship problems, and some are money problems, and some are just plain life as we deal with the realities that might be food inflation, or there might be problems in the world around us. They can be relationship problems or just about anything in the world around us. Well, we have things like AI, artificial intelligence, and we have things like wars and riots and cyber attacks. And all these things are disrupting everyone's life. And they are increasing. And so, from these subjects, you can look at related topics and see what may well be coming into your life, or the life of your family and friends. Will it be a military service? After all, you can look and see what Israel is doing, what China and Russia are doing. There are politics involved. There is inflation involved. There are illegals coming across many borders, not just the U.S. border. Many borders and there are changes coming to our lives. And the decisions that we make, well, they will either help us or hurt us as we go through all the situations of life in front of us. Any and all of these little things might affect your life in a big way, or in a continuous and small way. There are concerns, and many more concerns, that continue and expand and affect the people in your life, the way you live, and the life of people you love. And these are all, in a sense, distractions. Distractions from what is most important. We have concerns, oh yes, we have life. But the concern that is the greatest has to do with where we spend eternity. And is that something that you are paying attention to? You can always decide of some things in your life, about where you buy your food, or how you take care of your family, or what other things might impact your life or the life of the people you love. Are you able to keep your job, or has the management decided that some positions are going to be eliminated? Well, we have to see what we can do as we struggle to keep our financial life together, as we struggle to keep our family life together. And oh yes, there are many important things that we have to pay attention to. They are important, and they all make a difference in our life. It has to do with our spending and our lifestyle, what we say and what we do, and it makes a difference in where we will be in eternity. Will we be in heaven or hell? And isn't that the most important thing? After this life is gone and we are going into the next life? Yes, you know what is important. That is important. And somehow we have to live every day with the choices that are in front of us. All these choices are important. And we get to figure out how we're going to interact with the events of each day. How will it impact our eternity? How will it impact our relationship with God Jesus? And what is actually important to us anyway? Is it important to us about God? Or is it important to us about the little things that we want every day? Well, we have to watch all of these questions very closely and make sure we have a correct orientation to what is the most important. Sometimes we think about our nation, the countries around us, and what is going on in the Middle East, what is happening in Israel, in Syria, in Iran, Russia, China, and is America being invaded? Or is America going to be bankrupted by all the money we are spending and not replenishing? We can understand that trouble can be coming. We can understand that the food situation is changing in our grocery stores. We can understand that there are shortages that we never thought we would see, but there they are. Shortages of car parts, shortages of tools and equipment. And we have the destruction of the United States food facilities that just happened to catch fire or something. They got destroyed. And there have been cyber attacks on them also. There have been cyber attacks on our government. There have been cyber attacks on the airplanes and transportation system. All over, there are cyber attacks, and that is our reality. We have had hundreds of thousands of identities stolen. That's another part of the attacks on we the people of the United States of America. Are we going to be secure in our papers, in our homes, or are we going to have hacks come up where our accounts have been fraudulently charged and now our accounts are frozen, whatever they are, house, credit card, anything, anything. It's something that is going on every level of our government and also in our personal lives. Now, a part of it is just what people do. People have been dishonest throughout time. People have stolen and cheated other people. And that is a part of history. So what's going on now? Is it more than history? Is there a spiritual battle going on between good and evil? Yeah, that's the way I see it. And so we are all going to be affected one way or another, because we all live in this United States of America, and we the people are the government. So we are going to have some situations come up. Want to guess what they will be? Shortages of gas, shortages of food and hardware and our supplies. It can be everything, and we can only guess what is coming. We wouldn't know, just like the people in history wouldn't know that there were earthquakes or volcanoes going to come to their home or their supply chain. But all these things have happened, just like in ancient Egypt, when Pharaoh told the Hebrew people that, in effect, the government of Egypt would no longer supply the Hebrew people with straw to make their bricks. And so that now they would have to go collect the straw themselves. And they had to make the bricks be produced in the same number, the same amount. Now that is right out of Exodus 5:6. And it was a decree by Pharaoh. So the things that happened then can happen now. And we can only guess what really will be going on. But we can be assured that there are going to be surprises. Speaking of Exodus, Exodus 1:15 was when Pharaoh commanded the Egyptian midwives, Zipporah and Phinehas, to kill all the male Hebrew newborns. Well, they did not obey Pharaoh. They had a humanitarian love inside of them, and they did not kill the male Hebrew babies. So what happened to them? They were mentioned for all time in the Bible, and they will be remembered for what they did by not killing the babies. And we do have situations in the Bible that are some amazingly wonderful and some that just are plain old human. We understand them. They surprise us, but there they are. I think of one where Moses was on the desert and his father-in-law, Jethro, came out to see Moses. And so Moses' wife was with her father, Jethro. And now, it's not really spelled out, but Moses ran to meet his father-in-law, but it doesn't say anything about Moses running to meet his wife. So what could be going on there? We have normal human living. All through the Bible, it happens over and over in history. It happens in the Bible. It happens in the lives of people we know. The patterns are there of as we go through life And also as we go through everything else, like war and like death, it's all a part of our history, ancient history and modern history. So we have these things going on. In a way, they shock us, just like the Civil War shocked Americans when there were 800,000 deaths among the Civil War soldiers. World War I was shocking, with 800,000 dead, and World War II had 400,000 dead in the United States, and there were millions that died in the world. So that's the thing that goes on. It goes on with our life, it goes on with war, it goes on in ways that we don't expect, whether it's COVID or some other ailment that has affected people. And it's just a fact of life. Life continues and death continues. And that is as we live. We have a situation where in the book of Revelation, chapter 9:18, it says that one-third of the world will die. Now, death is normal, but it seems to me like that is something that is beyond normal. It might be a nuclear war. It might be just plain old fighting. There is something about there in Revelation chapter 9 that there would be fire and smoke and sulfur that would be killing people. And in my mind, I just have to wonder, could that be gunpowder, fire, smoke, and sulfur? Components of gunpowder. So, it's a question. And of course, what if there was a big war? What if there was a nuclear war? Maybe that's why there are so many people that died. Well, we have 9 billion people in the world. The Bible says one-third will die. And isn't it interesting that one-third is 2.666 billion? Now, I know those sixes will get a lot of people's attention, and maybe it's just plain intentional that God put those sixes in there. I don't know, but there are things that reflect on the reality of life and the spiritual situation. So we have the situations going on right in front of us, and some people are saying that this is one of the horsemen coming about now, the black horse. And some people are pointing to the star that hits the bottomless pit in Revelation 9:1. And the pit holds disobedient angels. So we can only guess what it really will bring about. But we know that things are about ready to happen in our world. We can see that there is a conflict in the world. Just look what's going on in the Middle East. Oh yes, that's conflict, plenty of conflict. And there are elements of it turning into a religious war between the Muslims and the Jews. And that would include the Christians, too. And there are plenty of people who have ideas about all of that, and I'm not sure that we know about any of it. It's just we have ideas, and we talk about them. But it does look like some pretty big event is going to come our way. What it is, a lot of people have guesses about, and we will just have to see. I do think of Luke 21:20, where Jesus says that when Jerusalem is surrounded by armies, then know that its destruction is near. Now, there's plenty of people who have more thoughts that go along with that. And we get to try to understand, try to figure out and interpret what other verses go along with it. A lot of people have ideas, but only God knows what will really help. What will really happen? And of course, we know that there is a natural way for everything to happen. And what that way is, well, we have ideas, but we don't know because God is so amazing. And what he does and the circumstances that he puts together, it is amazing and astounding and wow. So we want to still know that these kind of things are going to come about. And so we get to focus on what the future holds. Now there's so many people who the only future they can see is that they will be raptured. And now the rapture is a Bible truth, but we don't know the timing. And as I read the Bible, I see time after time where people thought something was going to happen, but God delays it for some reason, or he allows time to play out, and it does not happen in people's expected time frame. So I know that that could happen with the rapture also. And I certainly don't know. I just wonder about it. We all want to see people live well and go to heaven after they are dead. Or be raptured into heaven, of course. But for God's plan and his timing, we just don't know. However, we are on the earth right now, and our job is to present the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with forgiveness and heaven as a part of that future. I think of Mark 16:15, where we are to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, I remember a time when that was just puzzling to me. I used to wonder, every creature? Come on, what does that mean? Well, I remember once that I believed what it said, and so I started preaching the gospel to every creature that I saw that was, you know, conveniently there, whether it was a bird or a squirrel. And I found out something. I found out that that gave me practice at speaking about the gospel. And so it was a good thing to speak to every creature about the good news of the gospel. I still get a little laugh about that, but it's something that really and truly happens, so I can tell about it. Well, we just want to continue to obey God's word in the Bible, and that's what we're going to do. I do think about the different Bible passages and how we can obey all of them. There's a way to obey everything. We want to obey our Lord in every way. And so the scripture tells us one way or another for how we can obey the Lord. Speaking about obey the Lord, oh, where is that? It's 1 Samuel 15:22, where it says, obedience is better than sacrifice to the Lord. So obedience is a good idea. And we obey the best we know how. That's what we want to do. And reading God's word can help us understand how we can obey. What can we obey and how do we do it? That's what reading scripture helps us to know and to do. Now, at one point, there will be no excuses. We will meet Jesus and we will be judged by Jesus at the end of our life. And God has told us what to do. It's all in Scripture, and somehow we have to figure it out how to be obedient to Scripture. God tells us his will, and God tells us his character, and a part of that is, be ye holy, for I am holy. That's in Timothy, and I think that that's something that we can always strive to do is be holy because Jesus is holy. So that is one of those many things we try to figure out. It wasn't Timothy, it was 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. Sometimes I get to think on these things and it takes me a minute sometime. Anyway, we keep learning from God's Word and we keep getting a better understanding of God's character. So that is what we do. We keep searching and seeking our understanding. Our God is amazing. And we say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We seek Jesus. And every one of us has to seek Jesus for themselves. It's not like we get to seek Jesus for another person, unless they're in our household. But really, everybody has their own journey to go on where they get to know Jesus and choose to belong to Jesus obediently. And so that's what we do. We have problems around us which we get to search our understanding of as we are faced with this and with that. Now, it might be AI. It might be the personal troubles at home or in our work. Something just makes a complication, and we have to just consider, how did God tell us to deal with whatever it is? That's what we do as we continue to seek the truth of God Jesus. And of course, we want to have goodness and righteousness as we go through life and have a good and holy life. Isn't that what we do? Yes, yes, it certainly is. The world is full of, well, it's full of everything. But when I think about there in Revelation, how so many people are going to be dying, one third of the earth's population, then another third. And yes, the point is that a whole lot of people are going to die at some point. And I think that there will be a whole lot of people who will be needing hope and Jesus. And that's the part of our job that we do. We seek to share Jesus with the people around us. And that is hope. Sometimes it's hope for this life. Sometimes it's hope for an eternal life. And that is just what we do. You know how to do it the best way? Through prayer and listening to what God speaks to your mind and your heart. Now, I've found people will have a sense that God is speaking to their heart. I've had a few people tell me how God speaks to their mind. And I've heard a few people that say they heard an audible voice from God. Sounds kind of scary. Kind of reminds me of the Hebrew people in the Egypt desert, where God spoke and the people asked Moses to speak to God for them so that they did not have to be terrified of the voice of God. Well, sure. I don't know exactly what the situation is or will be, but I know it's important to have that personal relation with God, Jesus Christ. And that is what we do as we seek God through prayer and pray over and over again. And that is just what we do. It's a part of our life. It's a part of seeking God at a time when all sorts of things are going on in our world. I think of them as distractions. I think of war and difficult personal relationships as being a distraction to take us away from relationship with God Jesus. And so we have a job as we go through life to try to figure out how we can maintain close relation with God Jesus. And yes, prayer is a big part. And yes, Bible is a big part. That's what I've seen. Now, I don't think it would be different for most people. I think we have similarity. And so that includes Bible and prayer. And are you doing it? A lot of people just don't. They just don't have the time. Oh, boy. I think you better be careful with that one, because you want Jesus to have time for you. And we want to be able to hear from God at the right time. So it's important for us to designate our time so that we can hear Jesus. Yes, speak to Jesus. And yes, listen to Jesus. We practice having a little sense of it, and it turns into a big sense. And I think that's about the best we can do. But we keep working on hearing the voice of God to direct us, to guide us through life. And that's what so many people have done through eternity. They've been faithful to God. And there have been people who have turned away from God too. Oh boy, that's a big one today. Today we have had many people who we thought were faithful Christians, and they end up turning away from God publicly. They say it publicly. Oh, one thing and another, they say. And last week I had somebody I was talking to about the great falling away, and I don't know how it happened, but they wondered if I was talking about them as being fallen away. And I can only suppose that God would have been speaking to their heart and mind if that was what they understood, because I certainly didn't mean it that way. But it is interesting what we do as we go through life, and how there are little bits and pieces here and there that just make an impact on the world for God. And that's remarkable. God puts things together, and we say, wow, yes, Lord, oh boy. And sometime we can tell people about those amazing stories, and it grows the faith of people. Well, we have so many people in the world. Some follow Jesus Christ, some do not. Some are just all in the world for whatever they can get, whether it's, just anything that they want. It might be their habits. And you sure have to be careful with habits, because habits have a way of ingraining themselves so that you no longer have a choice. Do I have a choice to, whatever it is. I think of most people who have a habit they can't quit is cigarettes and alcohol. But it can be other things too. What if you're in the coffee habit? What if you're in the habit of jogging? And somehow these habits, you cannot stop them. You have to do them. And that, I think, is always a danger when you call yourself a Christian, a Jesus follower. Because if you have to do something else, well, that means that you're not paying attention to what Jesus requires of you. So we have situations all over as we go through life. Some things are amazing, and some things are, well, they're just regular and plain old. So we have things that we think are important. Sometimes it is human, and sometimes it is just the things that we want. And we have to be so very careful. We have to be careful about being in the world and having people take advantage of us. Because so many people are just plain plotting. They are just plain treacherous people. And we have to be careful that we don't get caught up in what it is that they are proposing. And we have to remember we are holy. and we want to be righteous in the eyes of God. And we do that through knowing God's word. We know that God has the power and authority, and that God can speak to us about truth and justice. And oh, we don't want to ignore truth and justice, because that keeps us on the straight and narrow road of our destination in heaven. Well, when we look at all the things that have gone on in the world, there have been lies and deception, there have been thefts and robberies and assassinations then and just recently. So all these things are being imposed upon our way of life, and upon sometimes they affect us personally too. So we have to just be careful that our position is to promote God's righteousness. We make personal choices about everything, about other people in our life, about other situations in our life. We make personal choices when we present the good news of the gospel. And I think of Matthew 10:14 about how we are to present the good news of the gospel. And when we find that our message is not heard, whether it is at a home or at a city, we are to dust our feet off and leave that home or that town and continue. Our job is to tell people about the goodness of Jesus Christ and the salvation that he offers us when we are born again. So yes, we still love people, and yes, we still pray for people, but it doesn't mean that we stay in a place that we are not doing anything to advance the kingdom of God. Now, this can be hard to understand, but prayer always helps. So read the Bible and pray and get guidance and understanding, and think about what holiness means. And that's a part of what we want to do, is be ye holy, for I am holy. And that is exactly a part of what we do. There are always issues to resolve in our professional life, in our personal life, with other people, and sometimes with our very own self. How we have a thought that we need to discard or do something with. And there's a lot of things to consider. So always remember to have a grasp of God's character and his holiness, and then comply with it. We do have problems that can come up all over the place. Oh, it can be, well, I think of the banking things, because those big banks are in such debt, hundreds of billions of dollars. And we had a 2008 banking crisis, but it did not cause the weak banks to drop out. It caused them to be propped up by monies. Very often it was government monies, but also the banks themselves. It put money up so that the banking system could continue. But we have things going on. The banking system is, in a sense, unstable. And we have various countries trying to become the new bank. And what are they doing? They're doing all sorts of things with what they buy and what they sell. One of the things that the central banks are doing is buying tons of gold. And I think of just tons, and it's just astounding. I think of us regular people. If we can buy an ounce of gold, that's wonderful and amazing. But the central banks of the world are buying not just pounds of gold, but tons of gold. And we get to see what that means. But if they are doing it, we know that it just might be a good idea for us to get maybe an ounce, maybe 2 ounces of gold. And it's a question, because if gold doubles or triples or quadruples in price, well, it is a gamble. And I have to say that it's not a sure thing, but we can wonder about why the banks are doing it around the world, the central banks especially. What do they know that we don't know? It seems like there is something going on, and we get to try to figure out what it is and what we should do about it. It's not that I can say we should buy gold, but I can say, look at what are they doing and what does it mean that we should be doing? Getting an ounce? Getting 2 ounces? I really don't know, but I wonder about it. And so I bring it up to you as a consideration. I know that in the past there have been, I'll call them people who want to prepare, and they say that everybody should have gold and rice and beans and, what else did they say? Ammunition kind of things. Oh, but that's an interesting one, ammunition, because China has the key ingredients to gunpowder, and they are not letting them out of their country just now. So the world is not having enough gunpowder. Now, it is said that the military around the world is able to buy their gunpowder, but the people who want gunpowder for sport, you get to figure out what that means. I'm not sure, but I guess for the people who want to go shooting just for fun or for hunting, they say that it'll be months before there gets to be a regular supply of ammunition. So if China is hoarding the world food supply, and they have like 60 to 65% of the wheat, of the rice, of the corn, of the food supply that can be sold. So China is buying up wheat, rice, and corn. China is buying up the gold, and China is not letting the ingredients for gunpowder to be sold, or at least they're limiting it. So we've got something that China is doing, and we get to figure out, what does it mean? Does it mean that China is going to a war or preparing for war by withholding food and ammunition from their enemies? Well, of course it means that. And we get to figure out, what are we going to do? What can we do if we can't buy food or sporting bullets? I don't know what to tell you, but I know that if this is going on, it probably means something. And what it means, we all get to figure it out. But we also know that there have been hacks into our computer systems that would disable our supply chain and our drinking water systems. So the rumors are going on. And of course they are only rumors, because we don't get confirmed information. Now, Director Wray of the FBI said that there are flashing lights going off all over the United States. Why? Because of the incursions that are going on to our computer systems, everything, our supply chain, our military, our governmental communications. There are flashing lights going on everywhere, is what FBI Director Wray said. So what is going on? Is China preparing for a war? They threaten war. They threaten war over Taiwan. That's been going on for a good while. And Russia has threatened war, just like China has, to send their nuclear ballistic missiles to the United States. And that would, of course, be World War III. And what if we can't get what we need to have a war? Does that mean we lose? Does that mean we submit? Does that mean we say, yes, enemy, we will do what you want, just don't kill us? Oh, that's what the Egyptians did in Genesis. And so they turned over their land, their food, and then their bodies to be sold to the Pharaoh of Egypt. Why? So they could get just a little bit of bread, enough to live, enough to get by a day. And that's what was going on as the economy collapsed in Egypt. What's going on here in the United States of America? It's not so different. And so if that is going on, what preparedness steps should you be taking? We might want to take a few preparedness steps, and we all know what some of them are. And then as you look into it and research further, you get to understand better what you just might be doing. How are you going to prepare if there is conflict or war coming to the United States of America? You know that it's at least possible. You know that there have been a lot of illegal migrants, so to speak, illegals, crossing our southern border and our northern border. Why are they crossing? By the millions. Could there be a war being planned against the United States? Of course. So what would you need? You need what China has? Gunpowder and ammunition? Well, we all get to figure that out, and we are all going to look at it different. Of course, I suggest Bibles and hymnals, because Bibles and hymnals will always be needed as we seek a relationship with Christ Jesus. And that is where we get our eternal security, where we don't even mind dying. That's what the martyrs have done throughout history. The martyrs have stood up for Jesus and said, even if you kill me, I will not deny Jesus. Well, I know that from my little experience, I know that death can come quickly with my car accident. And, oh, I knew it was close. And somehow, God just managed to save my life for some reason or other. Anyway, we go through a lot in life, and this is a part of what we do in life. As we go through life, we seek to have understanding. We seek to get the things that we will need if conditions change. And that's a part of what the preparedness is. What if we have an earthquake? And you know, there have been earthquakes on the San Andreas Fault. There have been earthquakes on the New Madrid Fault. There have been earthquakes in diverse places that have never had real earthquakes, like in Texas, like in Canada, like other places in the world. Turkey, for instance. No, they had earthquakes, but they've been having earthquakes again. They've been diverse earthquakes in China. All sorts of things. And of course, you know that what happened with Fukushima and the tsunami that killed 200 plus thousand people off of Asia. Just all sorts of things are happening, and it'll do us good to have some preparedness supplies. Now, what do you get? Water, food, and warmth are what I always say, but there again, we all have an idea of what we need. Flashlight batteries can be essential, but they run out. Are we going to get a solar charger and rechargeable batteries? What we want and need is what we want to have available, and it changes. Everybody has something, some idea of what is important, and that is why it is so important to be a community, because people can help other people with what they have, whether it's a sharp kitchen knife or a knife sharpener or clothes or food and water or maybe vitamins or maybe a book on anything, on medicine or how to build a house or anything. There, so we exchange information and we work together with compassion about other people. And yes, certainly have your Bibles and your hymnals handy for that. Have a few of them in storage if you ever do need them, because we have all sorts of things that are coming around and we don't know really what will hit us. I mean, hit us hard, because we have AI coming around. We have BLM riots. We have currency printing by the Federal Reserve. We have instability and borrowing by governments and central banks all around the world. We have the threat of a pandemic, of war, of taxes increasing. We have threats of our middle class disappearing. That's another one. And we have threats of sending our military around the world, and how will we supply them? They're all questions. We have mysteries happening around the world in every area of society, both great and small. So all these things are going on. Which ones will affect us? We really don't know, but we know that trouble could develop in any of these areas, whether disturbances or protests or migrant violence, any of these things, domestic violence. These are all things that the prophetic people talk about coming to America. So what are we going to do if they do actually hit? How will we be prepared for taking care of ourselves, our families, and the people who are around us? Now, we only have so much. We cannot provide for other people in any notable way, but there is something we can do. But you have to realize that if we really are going to have a great problem, you're going to have to grow your own food, just like they do. That means we'll need water and farm gardening equipment, all sorts of things we will need as the restrictions grow from our government, as they talk about restricting, what? Lately, it was firearms. That was one thing. And then making abortions available. Is that something that God either wants or doesn't? We get to figure that one out, too. But what are you going to do about all these situations, and how will it impact you and the people around you? I don't mean I know. I just mean it would be good for you to have an understanding of it, so that if you need to do something about whatever troubles are coming, you can examine them. You can make a plan and actually look at what is going on. See what you need to change. See if you need to have your telephone or somehow adjusted, or if you need to have a solar charger. Now, if things really go bad, your phone isn't going to work. So, I mean, there's all sorts of things going on, and you have to figure out where are you going to stand with it. A lot of things won't work if it gets really serious, but that's a part of what you do when you have your expectations of what could happen and how you want to protect yourself and your loved ones. Now, the big thing is to have Jesus and have him and in your eternity as you go forward. And of course, that means in case you die or are raptured, you will want to have that very strong personal relationship with Jesus. Do it today. You don't know what can happen later on today or tomorrow or next week. A whole lot of people just plain die, and you don't know when your turn is. So keep all those things in mind as you consider what to actually do, what you want to study in the Bible and the New Testament and the Old Testament. All the study that you do will help you to understand the beautiful and wonderful character and nature of God. But prepare for what is coming. Even if you don't know exactly what it is, you know what there could be. And certainly natural disasters happen all over the earth. And always you can listen to any past broadcasts of Christ Today by going to www.christtoday.org, and that is all lowercase, and look for the one that says John Stephenson, because there's three or five or something other ones. So that's the one to look for on KKXX. And of course, if you would like to have a preparedness pamphlet, I give those away for free. But I wouldn't mind if you sent me a stamped self-addressed envelope so I could send that to you. I like to get the address correct. So if you write it, I know it's going to be correct. So send me your stamped self-addressed envelope. And of course, donations are always welcome. It helps keep the broadcast on the air. So send it to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And yes, thank you for today. Pray for the people around you. Pray for the people who are missionaries. Oh, including missionaries to the United States. We need missionaries to the United States. We need missionaries around the world. So do what you can do with financially supporting missionaries and also your local Christian churches. And thank you for today. God bless you.